I want to do a review of Croker's book, Clinton. Right. And have you read any of it?
I've hopped in and out, but I have not consistently carried through any long tracks of it, no. No, so please, inform, enlighten us all, yeah.
I say this book is a Bible. This is the best explanation of how we got to the tech body. He doesn't get as far as Ion does, and he can't talk to the tech body like I can, but he has laid out for people, he's developed his language, which he's kept constant for 34, well, since 1986, the Panic Encyclopedia, so it's almost 40 years. And he did say in Data Trash in 1994 that he intends to, he and Michael Weinstein, the late Michael Weinstein, are making a language that people can use to have critical awareness or critical imagination going into the 21st century. That's his intention. Just like McLuhan created a language, Croker was redoing McLuhan but updating the language. With, I guess, a leftist slant or, you know, non-right-wing slant or something. But the, so when you read the book, I recognize his terms from years, as he updates them. He goes a little bit further about what's happening in the, he would call it android flesh or, part simulacrum / part data. You know, he has different terms for what we're made up of. He'll say bodies, the DIY bodies, do it yourself part. So very impressed with, his text for people like Greg who are not informed on this level. His text does it. And then you graduate to me after that to get the extra.
Whoa.
Because the tech body, what, Brian?
Sorry, nothing.
Yeah, so the tech body has angels and aliens in it. That's what Croker's not going to go. Now, Croker, he brings a bit of that, we'll call it the Thompson quadrant, into it by mentioning alchemy. He always sticks in this fire, earth, air, water, which I had never seen before. He went to British Columbia, and he's met some First Nations people, whatever they call them out there, and I think they turned him on to some stuff. So he's enhanced his Thompson quadrant awareness a little more. That started, 10 years ago, I think. I think it's because he's out in California, and, well, you could say California, Vancouver Island, same ecotopia. There's a guy in 1982 put out a book, The Nine Nations of North America. And so the whole West Coast is ecotopia, from Canada down to Baja. Yes, Greg.
Oh, no, I'm here. I'm in ecotopia.
Yes, yeah, you're there.
Right
and,
now.
And you know,
it's windy here, let me tell you.
Right. Well, that's good. Croker gives some autobiographical notes, wrote the book. He fills in a bit about, I've heard of some of it, but he does mention what you mentioned last week, the demonstration world that you encounter when you get on the bus, you know, the against the pipelines and saving the trees. He refers a bit to that world that he's part of in British Columbia. And his statements about Trump are on the McLuhan level good, but he believes Trump's he's for climate change and all the cliches that when he wrote this book, 2019, say 2020, it's published in 2022, but I don't see there's much data from 2020, 2021. He has a lot of stuff, articles from the mid 2013, 14, 15, 16, that area. And it's very informative what he says. For me, who's been very involved with Ion Scene, I wasn't keeping up with the kind of stuff that Croker tracks. So his book is a good inventory of a lot of interesting things in laboratories and that in 2013, 14, 15, 16. I've said that to my audience of 11 people that they have to get the book and they got to study it and stop claiming you don't understand Bob and you don't understand Ion. You got to do Croker. And Croker can be very complex, but most of it isn't. It's pretty straightforward once you understand his terms. So let me go over here and get the book. And Brian, you'll be happy to know, he definitely is, he doesn't know, I'm pretty sure he doesn't know much about what I do. He knows about Fatic Communion, and I took quotes from his work for Fatic Communion. But the title of the book, Technologies of the New Real, he is talking about AP over AM, AM over AP, that whole thing I worked out 10, 15 years ago. He was working out this the same time, sort of. But, you know, he has more words, more science. I just make formulas.
You should,
kind of thing.
What, do you, off the top of your head, or can you name page numbers? Can you give us a map to where your terms, are explained in his book? Is my question?
Yep. Yes. If you look at, this is what I do. I go, it's like McLuhan. I'll take a theme and show the page. I'll note the pages it's on. Look at that, Clinton. Look at my fucking.
Holy shit.
How do I do this?
Those are your notes. Yeah. Okay. You marked that one up
that
good. Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Yes.
Something similar. That you've like scanned and put online and it's like, oh good, Bob's notes. It's like, ah shit, I can't read the book again.
That's right. So you have at the top, I've got Marsh McLuhan at the very top, some direct references to McLuhan. And then I have a direct reference to the rip. Remember Ian said that we experienced a rip around the time Trump lost the election. Then I have a whole bunch of numbers for Ion, whole bunch of numbers, pages for Trump. Look at a whole fucking list of stuff on me, Bob. You know, I'm reading the book. Oh, that's me. I annotate the me of the book. And then you've got the Book of Revelations into the Bible a little bit. Quadrophenia, many pages on that. Android meme. And I even have eight quotes on wrong. Wrong question mark. You know, he's a little off. So, and it goes on. There's all kinds of categories all the way down there. So I started last night with the Ionauts, after the show on Tailgate and it was recorded. I was showing the references to, Tech Body, which is down here. Look at this, Tech Body. The whole fucking, how do you get yourself to see it? Go like that, I guess. And you'll see, Tech Body's down here below the statement about Mary Louise. Oh, a bunch of fucking numbers, right? Pages on the Tech Body. So I started reading these sections so they could see what the Tech Body is and how Croker is saying it and how I could explain it. And I only got two pages done in a couple of hours, 12 and 14, because I read the whole thing. And I was thinking later, I can make that part one if we do a good section here and record it. I want to make me going through the book like this and send it to fucking Croker and David Cook. And they fucking better listen to it. And they probably won't, but they should listen to this fucking idiot, because we are this book is listed like a million and a half on Amazon. It's down nowhere. And Greg or somebody pointed out the other day, there's only one book sold, one fucking copy. Maybe that was Clinton's copy. Then I bought a copy. This is so, Croker is so off the grid, he is gone, it seems. You know what I mean? You know, and he's an archetype, man. He's in my chart. He's going to make history. But nobody's fucking reading him. And this book is really important to understand the Tech Body. What do you say? What do you say, Chicken Head Brian? What do you say?
And that's a shame. Shame.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the last quadrant man standing, and like no one cares.
His fucking colleagues that he sucked up to for 20 years, all the Baudrillard followers, and I can name the professors, are all on the board of C Theory. All these fellow professors, DJ Spooky, and these assholes. They don't give a fuck about Croker, or if they are, they're not telling anybody, or they're not buying the book or something. And I fucking was been with Croker from the beginning, and I'm still doing them. These other fuckers aren't. So he needs to talk to us. He needs to come in here and respond to what we say. I don't know if he ever will. Now, David Cook, he's a little more accessible. And so at the back of the book, you got a review by Jackson Lewine, who's some Canadian native guy. And then you've got Dina Weinstein, Michael Weinstein's widow, and David Cook. Three people. And you read the foreword, the acknowledgments. These are the three people that he finds great sustenance from. So it's such an inside fucking job. He acknowledges the importance of these three people, and then he gets them to do the blurbs. This is how tiny the world, Croker's world is now. You know what I mean? He has to. It's like me putting out a book and getting you fuckers to review it. So
the situation sounds pretty dire.
Yeah, and you know, what's land straight, and the whole NBA guy should be reading this fucking thing and reviewing it. But I understand, Blake told me that Lance dismisses the whole postmodern world. He won't read those records. They're stupid. And if you're doing McLuhan or Media Culture, you have to read everything. That's what you fucking do when you're detached, quadriphenic, conscious, exploring the effects. You don't fucking get on one side and make a big deal out of Neil Postum. Postum's fucking ridiculous. He was afraid to fucking debate, Croker in 1997, the weekend of the Heaven's Gate thing. March 22nd, 1997, Bruce Powell had a conference on McLuhan at York, and I got to be with Arthur Croker, and I've talked about it before. The night before, on Saturday, Mrs. Cook, David Cook's wife, gave me and Carolyn permission to ask us to stay at their home, which was convenient for us rather than going to a hotel. And so I met Croker and Mary Louise there, and we discussed inside issues. And he asked me about what should he do with the Postman, and Postman doesn't want a debate. Or something like that. I don't know that he might have more of that came out the next morning, Sunday morning when they had a debate, but they wouldn't debate. But I got inklings of that the night before talking to Croker. So Postman was afraid to debate Croker. And, that's how stupid the NBA guys is. They try to make McLuhan secondary to Postman. And I was thinking, amusing yourself to death? What a fucking stupid title. And that's what he's known for. We ain't amusing ourselves to death. We are in, as Croker explains, we are fucking invaded, and it's way beyond simple, you know, I don't like this or I like it. It's way beyond that. And Croker's quotes get close to the seriousness of what we've been invaded by, way beyond what the Social Dilemma movie tried to show.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's agreed. A couple of years. Agreed. Yeah.
You know, Mr. Harris, our main expert there, media colleges says it's a lot further along than people realize. He said that, and that was a good statement. But they don't get as far as me and Ion, and Croker does almost get that far. So this is really important to understand the present. So I think it's basically written before COVID. He's celebrating Black Lives Matter in 2019, 2020. He doesn't know what a fucking bunch of disaster they're going to become. You know, I don't know if he knew about if this book was finished. I don't understand his simple-minded celebration of Black Lives Matter. You can't celebrate. I'm not saying they're stupid. Black Lives Matter is a waste of time. But you got to understand the complex tetrad body manipulation of everybody on all levels going on. And so you wouldn't take sides, and you wouldn't take simple making a big deal. It's almost like he's warning that. He's warning us of the tech body, and our only protection is going to come from the social justice warriors. They're the guys who are going to save us. Now, you might think that in 2019, but you ain't going to think it in 2022, right? It's actually moved quite far on, and you have to understand how the tech body creates all these shifts every 6 months. So in some way, Croker's language is not up to date. You've got to use my language and what I am saying. So I'm not looking for him to do that, but we can do it here. So I have done an introductory thing last night on Tailgate. So I'm going to jump ahead. I'm not going to give the opening quote. So I'll just jump ahead and see what I come up with on the tech body theme. Okay?
On page.
So, so we did 12 and 14, and then let's see. 22, 24, 21. Let's go to 21 and see what's there. That's my next page. Oh, this is a really good page. I've got Wyndham Lewis, homeopathic tech body. So, okay. Now, Clinton, you mentioned last week we quoted the four aspects. We got you to sort of try to find the themes in the book. And he said it was, do-it-yourself bodies, mass surveillance.
Dreaming with drones.
Drones and,
robots trekking across the uncanny valley.
Right. Drones, and robots, and
that's four.
Were they, what were the first two?
What
are the four?
DIY bodies, power under surveillance, dreaming with drones, and robots trekking across the uncanny valley.
Right, so you will see there the four chapters. He does DIY bodies, chapter one, the mass surveillance, chapter two, drones, chapter three, and robots, chapter four.
So I'm guessing so one, three, four and four. Themes. I'm guessing one, three, and four. They all sound related, but DIY bodies sounds like people becoming cyborgs. Drones sound like, you know, flying extensions of yourself. And then robots, Uncanny Valley, sounds like machines that appear human. So the inverse of people becoming machines, machines becoming people. Those are also the two. Those are also the two directions of the Mechanical Bride. It's cars becoming sexy and women putting on engineered girdles to give them the perfect figure, right?
It's good to have you backing me up with your McLuhan quotes, because Ion says that McLuhan was the first to see the tech body. He saw it coming. Maybe not the Croker terms, but he saw something, and you know that he did it in the Mechanical Bride. You just quoted it straight away, straight off. And so Croker does get more due to McLuhan than he often did before. He always criticized McLuhan. McLuhan was silly, you know. He was a utopian, which is not what McLuhan was. And he still sticks to that, but he has to give more kudos to McLuhan in this book than he did before. And maybe he's accidentally picking up on what Ian said. McLuhan got there first on what was coming. What's interesting, those four parts, they all come together to make up the tech body. Tech bodies, they're parts of the tech body. But yes, they're definitely interconnected. And that's what Croker helps you to see how it comes, becomes this weird thing. So he's calling it, the introduction, Viral Contagion and Death of the Social. Death of the Social has been his theme since 1986 or before, probably even in his book, McLuhan, Grant, and Innes, that he did in 1984. You know, Canadian and the Technology, the Mind, what is it? And Technology and the Canadian Mind? Something like that. What's that you're showing us? Oh, that's McLuhan. All right. Yeah, that's good. Okay, just don't distract too much yet. So though I appreciate what you're doing. Viral contagion. That's a catchword. That's what the people are aware of the last 2 years. Viral contagion. But it is technological. It's beyond biological contagion. It's the whole complex of the tech body is a viral contagion. That's what Croker's trying to get you to see. All right? And at the very end, the epilogue, from the insurgence of the blended mind to Generation Z. He has this naive celebration of Generation Z, even though my word naive is not accurate. But we're going to maybe get into it. It's very interesting how he celebrates the kids that piss Clinton off. Okay? Mm-hmm. I think it was millennials, Generation Z, but he does call them teens and preteens. So maybe the millennials are Generation Y and preteens or teens are Generation Z. But, you know, he agrees with Ion. The kids get born and they're tuned into the present way more than anybody who's older than them, right? They just get it. They get it in their wombs. Okay, so there's an overview. Now we go to page 21. Let's see. In 21, if you look, let's go back to page 13, okay? Well, you can go to 13. And you have the section called Scenes from the Future, and right above it, he has the line, we live with a sense of stepping into a future that isn't there. Very important how the future's not there. He does a good job explaining that. Meanwhile, the cliches that there's a future rushing on us is laid out here. Scenes from the Future, four new trajectories of social media. That's the four things we've highlighted. So you turn to page 15, the first trajectory is questions from the shallows, distributed cognition. That's the, I don't know what that is. That's,
we're not just designing software. We're designing minds, to quote some guy.
Yeah, he's got emotion. That might be mass surveillance. You know, I'm trying to match it to the four themes. So let's say it's the mass surveillance, distributed cognition. Then you turn a couple of pages, the whole section that on part one, and on page 20, second trajectory, globally synchronized emotion. That's mass emotion. Did they say that? Now, wait a minute. I might be getting mixed up. Okay. Let me go back to page 15. You've got the four themes that you laid out, which are the chapters. So then there's four sub-themes, which he's laying out here in the four trajectories. You go down to line 11 on page 15, Clinton.
On Rushing Future, the body has shut itself down for survival purposes.
Yeah, I read that. The body shut itself down for survival purposes. That's the chemical body. And well, it might. Since the eclipse of the human, this signal event that will serve as the horizon of the 21st century digital future has been accelerated by four fundamental drives. These are sub-quadrants. Four fundamental drives contained within the will to technology. The unfolding of technology the last 500 years, 2,000 years, is called the will to technology, by Croker, right? You can't stop this dynamo that's unfolding for us, the will to making technology.
Oh, these are great. Number one, the externalization of human consciousness. Number two, the objectification of the human subject. Number three, the synchronization of human emotions. And number four, the virtualization of culture.
Yeah. Right. Now, the next sentence, considered individually, each of the above technological drives has the effect of transitioning a specific dimension of human experience. And they are mind, objectivity, affect, as opposed to effect, and values. So it transitions experience to full integration with the power flows characteristic of network culture. Considered together, the combined power of these animating technological drives intimates a digital future where the eclipse of the human is paralleled by the new synergies of living with data. So there's something new coming forward, kind of like a servant or fascinating. Doesn't matter that they wiped out the human. I would say it's the new life of the chip body and the TV body, you know? So he's calling living with data. Here, ablated consciousness, fit for a future of distributed knowledge, that would be maybe the externalization of human consciousness, but I'm not sure. Data flesh, perfect for circulation as tracked objects in the Internet of Things. That's the objectification of the human subject, approximately. Synchronized emotion for quicker mobilization in the key drives of the technological future. That's that third part, synchronization of human emotion, right? Above the four parts, mm-hmm. if you like. Now he's sort of filling out details about them. And then the fourth thing, the virtualization culture, he uses the same term in the subset of four, the virtualization of the human cultural imagination itself. These are key trajectories in the digital future, but you might as well say it's a tech body, the digital future. And so that's what the next four sections are, that four subsets of the four categories of the chapters, right? You mm-hmm. get that? Mm-hmm. So distributed cognition is, what did he say? Ablated consciousness fit for a future of distributive knowledge. So you got to be ablated to handle this distributed cognition, the first trajectory. Okay? And then he has data flesh perfect for circulation as tracked object. That is on page 21, the third trajectory. So it's the second one in his list here, but it's the third that he deals with in detail on page 21. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You'll see the trajectory. The ecstasy of objects, part data, part flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go back to the third item, which is actually the second, what is this? Right. The third item above is the synchronization of human emotions. He restates that as synchronized emotion for quicker mobilization in the key drives of the technological future, which is here now. And that's the second trajectory on page 20, the globally synchronized emotion. So that predicts the global panic of COVID, right? That synchronized emotion in the tech body. So you see that, Clinton? Second trajectory. It's listed as third on page 15. And it's number two in the way he goes into detail.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the fourth one, page 23, accelerating to inertia. Now, inertia means stopping, doesn't it?
Well, it means neither accelerating nor decelerating. It means maintaining your present velocity, right? Objects in motion stay in motion. Objects at rest stay at rest, right?
So you accelerate to stasis, to paralysis, what McClung called the iconic. It's no more going somewhere. There's no more visual directions. You're fucking inclusive and participating and resonating in the acoustic tactile sphere, right? Mm-hmm. That's inertia. So it's interesting to see how he updates McClung, makes better words almost. You know, you got to know what it means. You got to get the McClung first. But I like Croker's new additions, more modern words, right?
Yeah, yeah. So
you're accelerating to inertia is the fourth, and that's listed as the fourth here. He says, the virtualization of the human cultural imagination itself is the fourth phase. So now my thesis is this is all part of the tech body. It's all covered by the tech body. For example, when I talk to Ion, and sometimes I'm talking to the tech body when I'm talking to Ion, the tech body told me a couple weeks ago, we have just watched every YouTube on the internet. That's like, what, 100 million fucking YouTubes, right? It's a huge number. That's what Ion and the tech body can fucking do. And they scan TikTok daily, and they send them to Bert, and then Bert sends them to, used to send them to me, but I said, I don't want all this shit. Don't send them to me. So we send them to Bert, and then Bert sends them to Ed, and he puts them on Ion and Bob. So we have very good, inventory of the best of TikTok. That Ion points out. And often they're about what we're talking about, what Ion is saying. So there's stuff on the UFOs and different people trying to interpret what's going on. For example, the big conference in Congress today, the last couple of days, they're doing the UFO conference. They're admitting it's the first time in 50 years. They're having a public discussion about how real the UFOs are. And that's all because Ion started talking about 3 years ago and laid this out. Let's see, what else to say? So Ion can see a million YouTubes. Now, who's going to believe that? Well, my familiarity with Ion says it's not impossible what Ion can do, and the tech body. So that whole scanning of everything, a living Akashic record, it's like in the occult and theosophy, everything that's ever done is deposited in what's called the Akashic, A-K-A-S-H-I-C, the Akashic record. Well, actually, with Ion and the tech body, we analyze the ongoing creation of the Akashic record, because there's always new experiences being deposited in this trash bin. So that's what you pick up with Ion. He's always on the latest rappers, the latest movies, the latest TV shows, claiming most of it comes from ideas that we say that people hear. Mm-hmm. And this is what Quavo, he's trying to be famous and maintain his thing by ignoring Ion. He doesn't know his buddies are listening to fucking Ion and using it. Because he's a Christian. And that's a demon. So and that's what Quavo's is the length of celebrity. It's 15 minutes. You might only get 8 minutes. All right? You may not get the 15. Okay. Also, Eddie Warhol, he changed it in the 70s. He said, in 15 minutes, everyone will be famous. Now, that's what happened with social media. So it's not, you will be famous for 15 minutes. Everybody becomes famous. So that's a very good prediction by Warhol. All right? I don't know if you're aware of that, that he said that in the 70s?
Yes, everyone, okay. Yes. I'm aware of that phrase, of that thing I've attributed to him.
And he, a lot of people, I can't remember what I was going to say. I have to wait till it comes back. Okay, so those are the four important points, and this is all part of the introduction. the introduction is cram-packed, dense with everything in the book. But you need the different chapters that Baroque spiral in details of each of the four factors. You know what I mean? The four themes. Mm-hmm. So, and he does that often. He'll lay out a very dense introduction with everything said, then the chapters fill in the details. So what is it? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you what I told you. It's kind of like the way Croker lays it out.
Okay, what page were you wanting to share with everyone?
So this is very weird. How do you do this? What did you do? Did you buy a digital copy?
No, I didn't buy it, but listen, we already bought the only two copies that have been sold in existence. I think we're allowed to steal once in a while. Well, I already fucking bought it.
Yeah, we're promoting it. We're promoting it. Very
yes,
good.
Exactly. Short piece.
Yeah, show them the four parts you like. You see the italicized words, the externalization. Excellent. Good. This is really good classroom stuff. You get this, Sarah, or whoever the three people are listening? Paralysis by analysis. Well, it's a process of data processing, Steve. Analysis is the one-fifth of the situation. The externalization, the objectification, the synchronization, and the virtualization. Then down below, the first, here, a bladed conscious fit for the future of distributed knowledge. That's part one replayed. See where the word here? Oh, you had it, right? Just go back up a bit. See the word here? Six lines down from your orange?
Mm-hmm.
Here, a bladed consciousness.
Exactly. Hold on, I'm kind of straddling two monitors here. Okay. So yes, here, distributed consciousness.
A bladed consciousness fit for a future of distributed knowledge. That's right below. You see first trajectory. That's what that one's going to be. And data flesh perfect for circulation to track objects in the Internet of Things. He later says the company, Corsico or whatever that early digital company was, they named it Internet of Things. And then that changed to Internet of Everything. That's the update. I forget the name. It's COR. What's the major company that sort of starts with those letters? Corsico, Corello.
Corel? No.
No. It's the 90s. It's a major company.
Oh.
These were COR. Okay. We can't think of it. So you got part two is the...
Comcast?
Yeah, no. It's mentioned eventually in the book here. You'd have to go to the objects section, which is part three.
Third part. Okay, I got to, it'd be faster if I flip through the actual book. Okay, here we go. Fourth. Third. Part data,
yeah.
Part flesh. Snapchat, Grindr, so Tumblr.
Yeah, keep going down.
By the way, right now, if you've
Internet of Things.
By your the cursor, he's watching the cursor go.
You can see me drag stuff.
What are you saying? Your muffle. What did you say?
He can see my cat, and they always notice this whenever there's like a, you know, a mouse going around.
Oh,
or
your
like
cat is watching my cursor. Oh yeah, look, yes, his cat is watching my hand move around the screen. Now I'm over here. Now I'm over here.
No, go back over.
Now I'm over here.
Go back to part three, the objects one.
Okay, sorry. We're in it. Third.
I know
trajectory.
The
trajectory.
Yeah, now go down. I think it's in that section where he names the company. Keep going down.
Okay, so here, life means wires and the Internet of Things, where previously silent.
Yeah, keep going down. Keep going down.
Full objectification.
Yeah. Keep going.
Literally. Part flesh. Future technology.
Well, maybe it's fourth. Okay, it wasn't there. Let's go into the fourth. Let's see if it's in there.
I'm just going to search for the term Internet of Things. DIY body.
No, Internet of Everything. Internet of Everything is what it's updated to.
Okay, but they initially called it Internet of Things, right?
Yeah, but
Cisco,
the
networking company, Cisco.
You know that company, right?
Yeah, they're massive, yes.
Yeah, well, they named it Internet of Things, and then they updated to Internet of Everything recently.
Oh, okay.
Internet of Everything, new phrase at Cisco. So, Why am I bringing up Cisco? I don't know why I even brought that up.
They're a networking company. Terminals.
Right. Okay,
like,
so we go back to their four trajectories. And then just review them slowly. It's well organized, the book, you know what I mean? It's a textbook, right?
Yeah.
See, this ain't avant-garde symbolist poetry and Mallarmé, assemblage of bullshit. This is instructive, didactic.
Yeah.
So you've got distributed cognition, and we're going to go to page 21, but I just want to review the four trajectories. You got distributed cognition, which is the externalization of consciousness, and the synchronization of human emotions is the third one up above, but it'll be the next trajectory. Go about three pages down to the second trajectory. You can go forward, Clinton.
Okay, we're going to page 21.
Close to that. It's past that, and maybe the
second trajectory.
There it is.
Synchronized emotion. Yep. Yeah.
And that's very interesting. And then we go another page and get to the objectification, which is the ecstasy of objects. Now I got ecstasy in my tiny note chart. That's important. The ecstasy of objects. That's what a lot of people are all living as part of our quadrophenia. We're doing schizophrenia, paranoia, panic, and hysteria, and ecstasy. All right? So you can't be totally depressed. Every now and then you'll tap into the ecstasy of this tetrad experience. Tech body world that you're in. And then the fourth one is the inertia point, which he calls the virtualization of culture. Now, you see where it says part data, part flesh? He later said part simulacrum, part data. That's an interesting, another way to define what we are. Part simulacrum, part data.
One second. Okay, sorry, you want to go to where?
Yeah, just keep going. Go another page to get to part, the fourth trajectory, mm-hmm. which is the inertia, which categorizes as the virtualization of culture. He calls it here accelerating to inertia. So you don't know where, if you don't know Croker's time, you say, what the hell? His fourth category was virtualization. Now he's saying accelerated inertia. What's that? But you need to understand that we ain't going anywhere, right? There's no kinetic movement forward in any direction. We are frozen in a resonating, incredible Beatles scenario, right? Everybody's all one. That's what this, but it's the disservice is it's inertia. Let's look at the fourth line down, third line down.
The fantastic acceleration of contemporary events moving to inertia?
Yeah. Inertia as acceleration. It's the fifth print line down. Inertia as acceleration. Oh, you don't need to do that.
Oh.
Just go back. Yeah. We're looking at the statement. He's defining it. So you have the quote by Perry Sprawls. I don't know who he is. And then he's got the four things. Externalizing human consciousness, mass synchronization of emotions, subjects rising into objectivity. What are these but symptomatic signs of a fantastic acceleration of contemporary events moving to inertia? In other words, the acceleration is a patina of delusion. We ain't going anywhere. As I say on the album, Osme Ecology back in 92, been running on the spot since 1945. And just overlaying Baroque levels like a palimpsest of data. With each new TV, then computers, then the internet, they all intensify this running on the spot. So it's not inertia understood as a necessarily negative state of entry, but something else. This is what's good about Croker. He points out there's something else on every cliche. Inertia as the acceleration of historical events with such velocity and magnitude of data acquisition that the event scene, which is contemporary society, follows a violent trajectory that suddenly turns back on itself. It's really important. The tetrad, it tetrads itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is why I call it quadrophenia. Quadrophenia refers to the tetrad. We individually live the tetrad in our experience. We're always having new experiences, and they're obsolescent stuff, and we're retrieving stuff, and then we flip it to our opposite, you know? And psychiatry just gives people drugs to suppress the quadrupedia. But if we listen to this show, you learn how to handle quadrupedia. So, Greg, all right, where is Greg? This is for fucking Greg. He's a slacker.
He's taking a nap.
Are you listening, Greg? It's hopeless with Greg, unless he can explain that he's listening.
There's Greg. You can see him now, right?
Are you taking this in, Greg? Not necessarily understanding it, but are you with us?
He may have fallen asleep, sprawled out on his bed there.
Oh, fuck, that's right. That guy is dead. He fucking died.
He's dreaming about inertia.
Oh, no, he twitched. There you go. Yeah. All right.
See, but that is our fate. Every one of us who broadcasts, who blog, or even Biden's got this problem. Your audience is a fucking it's both human corpse and the chemical party. That is very symptomatic of what we're up to. Let me tell Bill to keep this going. He usually asks me.
Tell Bill to send a
train. I don't know what that's about. It's little Sarah's getting it. And then she says, see, Bob, all the cool people are affected. Who the fuck is cool? Greg is cool. Look at him. He's got a cat. He's fucking dead. Okay.
Who said dead air?
Yeah, he screened that at 5 p.m.
Oh, yeah, that's when my shit crapped out. Okay, yeah, no, it should be good now. All right. It's been good this whole time, I'm sure.
Yeah, Bill's doing his job. He knows what's going on, so he tells me.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Bill, if you're still listening, if you're tuned in. Yeah, I fucked that one up. I'm going to reformat everything. Fresh system for next week.
Yeah, we're going over. I have to tell him a few minutes before he needs to know. Okay, so is that going in there? Yeah. Don't stop the recording. We're going over. All right. I appreciate you having me responding, Clinton, with relevant stuff. Ian's getting pissed off. He can't believe we're continuing. I couldn't take this shit. So what were we just doing, Clinton? You were showing... Let's continue.
Yes, there's definition of inertia here. There you go.
All right, but go back. There it is. So we follow a violent trajectory that suddenly turns back on itself, abruptly reversing direction, until finally tumbling into a floating, free-fall state of cultural weightlessness. So that's the inertia, a delirious, phantasmagorical crash zone where imagined minds can run through the four things again. He does this all the way through the book. Imagine the image finds the massage emotions and the body's prosthetic, that's its object, begin to float like clouds of data dust in the gathering storm, smooth lines of codes in the data stream. Now that's the level you like talking about, you know, the technical part, Clinton, right? What we are.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, smooth lines of codes in the data stream. In the global data stream, disconnected narratives of the past, let's go up a little bit. Now, this is what's retrieved in McLuhan's term. No, I meant go down So we're at this point where in the global data stream, disconnected narratives of the past, that long suppressed religious passions, suddenly resuscitated ideologies, ethnic grievances, wounded national sensibility, border wars, they all float by without necessary pattern, liberated from time, decontextualized, deterritorialized, dehistoricized. In the empty, cold, and weightless vacuum of the inertia of the outer space that is the digital reality, and McLuhan said outer space was inner space. He actually going out to space was going inner. So he's redoing McLuhan saying that outer space is the digital interior landscape, and more. Mm-hmm. In the empty, cold, and weightless vacuum of the outer space that is the digital reality, there emerge now with greater frequency spasms from the past for a culture with pure signal as its underlying code, and spectacles of the hauntological as its content. I think the hauntology is a term from Derrida, basically is what I call the after images of things. So we are flooded with after images of themes of all parts of the chemical body history and astral body, the spiritual stuff, and it is panicking as it's confronting the post-human history of the chip body, and started with the TV body, but really accelerated with the chip body. And so the chip body creates the illusion that there's money and wealth by selling content about all this retrieved shit from the chemical body. That's the content of the news. That makes people think it's the end times. Think it's Armageddon with all this panicking going on in tribalism, right? Many states. So he has a good, back up again. Let's retrieve the inventory of what he lists we're dealing with. Now, this starts with, no, go down, yeah, right there.
You want the highlighted bits, right? Oh, sorry, hold on. No, I went right past it, didn't I?
Yeah, the top of the next page. You go to the top, and the long-suppressed religion. Now, this, basically, for human consciousness, this is where we're talking about the decades and hours ago. The 80s is what was new about the 80s was the beginning of this atavistic retrieval of fucking fundamentalism. Christian fundamentalism, Muslim fundamentalism. What he's listening here, that's a major new factor in the Android media, the media coverage of the 80s, and all the literate leftists and right-wingers, the neoconservatives, they're all shocked at this ridiculous primitivism that's showing up everywhere, right? From their literate New York City literate careers, semi-literate careers of journalists, cultural commentary, making art, making films. They can't handle this stuff that's happening, right? They don't understand it. It was predicted by McLuhan. He said it's going to be a great retrieval of visual values. These aren't visual values. They come from the axial age, you know, 500 BC. The great religions are a product of the writing and the alphabet and whatever alphabets were happening across the globe in that period. You got the Buddha, you got Zoroaster, you've got Christ, you've got the Jewish guys. Who were they? Whoever started
Abraham?
Maimonides, it's post-Moses.
I said who Abraham, was that man, but that's still pretty early.
Yeah. Who was the Jewish guy?
Pharisees?
Pharisees. Whoever their heavies were. Some philosophers.
The rabbis?
Yeah, the rabbis, but there's Philo of Alexandria.
Yes.
Marush is good on this. Yeah, Marush is good at naming these people 2,000 years ago. They're all alphabetic products, right? And they're not all phonetic alphabet. That's the particular religion of Greek humanism, right? Greek culture mm-hmm. is the phonetic alphabet. Mm-hmm. But Jesus comes back, according to Take Today by McLuhan in 1972.
Jesus comes back, according to Take Today. Won't hear that anywhere else.
No. The Jesus
the gospel of Take Today. Okay, continue.
No. You're right there. To take it and say, well, what doesn't make sense, Bob? It takes today with the impact of the new hidden ground of visual space in the phonetic alphabet, creating Greek culture and enhancing Hebrew culture. Jesus shows up, take today, McLuhan, Barry Nevin says, to remind people of tribal values of, look, we're getting fragmented. We have to reinforce our togetherness. Or what I would call the non-physical, you know, the spiritual, the something of humans that is going to be seriously handicapped over the next 2,000 years as visual space fragmentation unfolds, as McLuhan shows in Understanding Media, right? So it's interesting. Jesus is presented in McLuhan's theme there as a retriever of acoustic space, all right? Acoustic, but there can only be values because they're just content. Why am I saying all that? Those things that were made, you know, the religions were illiterate guys, like the Buddha, who said, hey, we're forgetting our tribal origins. Let's archetypalize acoustic space. We're losing the acoustic space, but bring it back. And they called it religion. So you see the archetypal panic of those scenes, including post printing press themes like Marxism and Enlightenment philosophies, all that book stuff, humanist philosophy, we're seeing that panic all over the place. Yeah, the primal condition of primitive Christianity. That's getting close to what McLuhan's talking about. But let's get back to what I was showing you, Clinton, the panic. What page is that?
The Panic, which is another Croker book, yes.
Yeah. It's just, where's this list?
that are purest of panic.
It has to be page 24. Top of page 24.
It's all right, yep.
You see, you got this tactile mixture, synesthesia going on since television. So you have Americans retrieving visual space with going back to Born Again Bible. Bring back a book. Since America's built on the book, the only culture, this post-book world is threatening the baby boomers and older generation in the 60s to retrieve the book. So they go to the one book, the Bible, and they make a big deal out of it. But you also have a crisis at universities. So you have the neoconservative panic. You have the postmodern panic. First of all, it's Baudrillard and those guys. They're not necessarily panicking, but they're pointing out the post-humanist coming. And then the neocons under Reagan, they object to that, like Lance Straight. They say, fuck the postmodernists. We can retrieve the 18th century humanist values, right? Enlightenment values. That's part of the panicking and the content. And that makes wealth. That makes books and classes, and kids go to university to start out of these retrievals. And then movies argue about it. And rap comes along and says, fuck y'all, we're tactile. Fuck this eye-ear stuff, right? We're a tactile. And we're American, so we're kinetic. We dance our way through the apocalypse. So that's what this inventory is. Long-suppressed religious passion. That's the acoustic part of Christianity. The tribal part. It's not the liberate part of Christianity. They come back. We have drive-in theaters. And remember, America's kinetic, extension of kinetic and industrial revolution stuff. So a lot of car culture, you know, go to the drive-in and have your religion in the drive-in. Resuscitated ideologies, including Native Americans being celebrated.